the first person who told me what you just told me was my fiance when her and I were talking about that, is, you know, that feeling of being needed mm-hmm. in life.
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 35 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil. I appreciate you tuning in and listening to the podcast. Today, I have a very special guest joining me. This young man is 11 years in the law enforcement profession. He's currently active in the military. He's the host of the Point Man Podcast. Please help me welcome from New Hampshire, Mr. John Imperial. John, how you doing, man?
Anthony, how you doing today? What's going on? I'm very happy to be on the show. Thank you for asking me to come on, and I'm looking forward to this interview.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you jumping on and talking with me. For everybody that listens to the podcast, you guys all know what my first question is, and that's very simply, John, why law enforcement?
Well, my first interaction with a police officer was, like I said, 7 years old, and it was my mother's cousin. And what happened was, our house that we were living in at the time actually got broken into, and my cousin came out and took the report. And so I kind of had, my mom always described me of like having that, like the big open eyes, like the bug eyes, like, you know, just absolutely mesmerized about, you know, the uniform, the cruiser, this, that, and the other thing. And I kind of fell in love with it from then on out. And so I've always loved helping people. And like, I gave the example of like, you know, helping people to change a tire on the side of the road because they're stranded mm-hmm. or whatever it is, just helping them throughout their daily life, whether it's, you know, 99% of the time when we're interacting with people, it's typically leading towards the worst day of their life, you know, yeah. whether they got arrested or whatever it's going on, a family member died, or, you know, I've always enjoyed and getting satisfaction of like just helping people. And so, and of course, you know, I like, especially when I first got on the job, I always enjoyed, you know, making arrests, going out there, making car stops. And when I got on the SWAT team, I just loved raiding houses, all that sort of stuff. So there was always that like, oh, the second, like in third order of effect, I guess you would call it, like, you know, just different things that you enjoy from the mm-hmm. job. But the reason why I got into it was just get out there and help people, you know, whether it's focusing on the crime that's going on in some sort of neighborhood, but just helping them get through and, you know, make it tomorrow and helping them from there.
I like to ask a follow-up question to that. When you got into the profession, was it what you thought mm-hmm. it would have been?
No. No. Not at all. So growing up, I started playing lacrosse, and my lacrosse coach at the time was a local police chief. So I started picking his brain, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And like I was telling you, I was that annoying kid in high school or that was always doing as many ride-alongs as he humanly could. And, you know how it is when you get a ride-along. Sometimes you're just like, all right, here we go again. They got to get somebody else. They got to watch over or whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, that was me. I was that kid that I'm now signed because he's here for the sixth or seventh time this month. Yeah. But it's funny because you see the job and you're going to the call. I mean, you're driving lights and sirens or whatever it is. You're 99% of the time, depending on what's actually going on, you're staying in the cruiser. So you don't see most of what's actually happening, the interaction between the police and whoever called 911 or whatever it is. And so as a young kid, you kind of see the lights and siren, the code 3 response, that sort of stuff of it.
Yeah.
But that's what, Anthony, what, 10% of the job maybe? And then that other 90% of it, you don't see, whether it's the reports, the whatever it is, the, you know, people going out there and directing traffic, just the minute daily stuff that you don't see being a ride along that I had no idea existed at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 10% of it is what I actually thought it was. I mean, I always wanted to be on a SWAT team. So I love that sort of stuff. And being a trainer, I never knew that I would love teaching as much as I do.
Okay.
But the actual policing side of it, I had no idea what I was. I thought I knew what I was getting myself into, but I had absolutely zero idea what I was getting myself into.
And you know what's funny about that is that the average citizen, they have no clue. You know, they see all these TV shows and they think that's what police work is all about, but they really have no clue exactly what it is that we do.
Yeah, exactly. They see the live PD of the cops and or you know Hollywood how they depict it, and you know they could like especially with the movie End of Watch, and I think they hit it right on the head with the having a partner in the cruiser and you know the relationship between you and the partner, but they don't understand. It's you know I remember I had a sex assault I had to do, and as an initial report was 12 pages long, and I'm talking like 12 single space, 12 point font, like 12 pages long, yeah. and they don't see that sort of stuff in the weeks it took me to complete just that report because because I have other stuff piling up at the same time, and it's like, yeah, I wish I knew that, but at the same time, it's just part of the job. That, like you said, the average citizen, the civilians, they don't really see it, and they may not understand it, but it's the stuff you don't see. You're like, damn, I wish I knew this prior to getting into it.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? Once you finally made that decision to go ahead and make the jump, how did your parents feel about you getting involved?
They knew it was something that I always wanted to do, whether it was serving the military or actually becoming a cop. You know, it's kind of one of those things that I always wanted to be. I needed to be in service at some point in time. When 9/11 happened, I was in eighth grade, and it was something that I had to do was serve my country. And you know, I went to college, and when I came out of college in 2010, I graduated, and that was right in the middle of the recession, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was one of the lucky ones that actually had a job right out of college and didn't really have to wait. I kind of had to leave school just a bit early to start my career. But at that time, it was something that they knew I always wanted to do. So they were mentally prepared for it. I mean, when 9/11 happened, I don't think I was one of the probably few ones in eighth grade that was trying to enlist into the Marine Corps at that point in time.
Really?
I was, I just was so mad and, wanted to seek revenge about what had happened eighth and ninth grade. I was trying to get in the Marine Corps. It was to the point where during the summer, that following year, the recruiters were calling my house, and I had no idea because I was off, training for football. So I was gone, between the hours of like 8 and 5, for sake of argument, when my mother would be home and she would be answering the phone of like, yeah, you're not getting my son, click. And, and so you go to like the next following year starts or whenever it was, 9th and 10th grade, I bumped into the recruiter because they would come and set up they would come and set up in lunchtime during high school. And, you could talk to the recruiter if you wanted to. And I go up there to talk to him and he's like, oh my God, you're John Imperial. I'm like, God, first of all, why are you asking me that question? He goes, right. I've been calling you. Yeah. he's like, I've been calling your house every single day for the past like 3 months. And I've gotten your mom every single time. And she has denied me from talking to you. And it's like, so it was just one of those things. And I eventually actually enlisted into the Army in 2017. So kind of late in life. It was just something I always wanted to do. But getting back to your original question, my parents were always, supportive of it. Yeah, they were scared. And it was something, I never talked about the career with them. Bless their hearts, neither one of them are in that sort of field or were at that point in time. So I felt it kind of not hard, but they may not understand fully where I'd be coming from. So even at that point in time, I just, when talking about the job, I just kind of kept it to myself and didn't really talk to them too much about it.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause when I retired, my wife and my kids came to the retirement party and, they're hearing all these stories and they're like, you never told us any of this. And I was like, yeah, there was a reason.
Yeah. And it's not to leave them out of the loop. Cause I think some, the loved ones, like family members, may think that. It's not to leave you out of the loop. It's because you may not, number one, not no fault of their own. They may not understand.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, you don't want to go back and not relive it, but they just don't understand where you're coming from,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it was fascinating, you know, for them. But like you say, when you've gone through it, you know, some of that stuff you don't want to keep revisiting, you know, over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been the type that, you know, they go to work, sick of argument, working 7 to 3, 3 o'clock comes, my uniform's off, it's in the locker. And I go, and when I leave at like 3:15, I'm back to normal John. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I put on the uniform for that period of time. Yeah, we're cops off duty too, and I completely understand that. But I needed that, like, that mental, just, I'm done for the day. I leave mm-hmm. it at work. That's where it stays. I don't bring it home to my fiance. And, you know, even though she's in the same sort of career field, I don't choose to talk about it that much, just because I want to leave it at work. And that's where I try to have yeah, it stay.
I hear you. I want to go ahead and jump into our first segment here. And this is what I call this is what I call dig deeper. And for those that don't know, what this is each guest that comes on the show, I go through their social media and I start being nosy and I pull out certain posts. And you know, I like to dig deeper and find out, you know, what that post was all about and then ask some questions around that post. And John, one of the first posts I came across of yours, it was a picture, it looked like an old window of some sort, and the caption read, "That view, try not to get so front sight focused in life, be willing to embrace new adventures and new experiences, step out of your comfort zone and into the hard stuff. You may feel like you've taken a nosedive, but in the end you'll be better for it." Do you recall that post?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
Right on my Instagram. I'm gonna throw a cheap plug in there. So it's at Point Man Podcast on Instagram as well.
Yep.
So that go into the picture real quick. So that view is actually at a training site. So in the military or in like SWAT operations, it's known as like a MOUT. So military operations in urbanized terrain. So that's like the actual site that we're at that point in time. So I'm up in the turret of the Bearcat, of the armored vehicle, and you know that's that building you kind of see in the foreground, the background. That's kind of blurry. That's like the target area. So we're doing a training operation, whether it's a search warrant or whatever it is. You know, whatever the training operation was at that point in time. So that's just the building was, and I thought to take that picture. So my caption was, with transition. So you may have like seen it. So I know when we were talking earlier, you had a job or a business outside of your actual career in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, especially when with regards to the military and transition, or when you're transitioning from one field of your career to another, they may focus too much on the actual overall goal and miss what is going on around them. So transitioning, you know, you need to have the next mission in life. So when you leave the military or you leave law enforcement, you have to have another goal. And what is that goal for you? And maybe not specific, but you know, for me, it was I try to become a better person, try to become a better, you know, soon to be husband, try to become a better family member. Or you know, because of that transition I am with my career right now, having just left full-time policing after moving and trying to get a job again. So in the meantime, I'm working construction and I'm back to pushing brooms, but I can tell you, guess what? I'm going to be the best goddamn broom pusher there is.
Yeah.
And that's my next mission in life. So I guess that's just one way of looking at it. Getting back into the actual caption, step out of your comfort zone. How do you actually push yourself to become better in life? Some people have their comfort zone and what they'd like to do, but how do you make that bigger? It's mm-hmm. actually stepping out of it and becoming comfortable in a new thing. And then your comfort zone grows. And whether it's, you know, I don't want to start working out because I don't know how to work out. I don't know how to, you know, eat healthier. I don't know how to do this sort of stuff. And it's like, well, if you step out of your comfort zone, if you start taking a couple classes, putting yourself out of that comfort zone, you're going to grow as a person, an individual.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah. I had a couple of questions I want to ask you around that post. And the first question had to do with the portion of the caption that says, be willing to embrace new adventures and new experiences. And my first question is, what was the last new thing that you've tried?
Construction.
Okay.
And that's my job now. I've never done any sort of construction. And, you know, I'm, like I was telling you earlier, I'm in the middle of backgrounds right now to get hired as a cop down in my new area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, another state away from where I was living. So yeah, that's the newest thing I've tried. And, you know, it's great. I like the job, but it's not where my heart lies.
Yeah.
So it's stepping out and experiencing new adventures just to learn and grow as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. Another question I want to ask you about that post. What's the hardest thing you've gone through or had to do in life?
You're really diving deep right now.
That's why I call it dig deeper.
you're hitting hard in life. And, all right. I thought this is going to go. It's going to, you know, sound repetitive maybe, but it's focusing around that. And, you know, like I was telling, you know, earlier, I've been wanting to do this job for probably 34 in November. So for the past, I don't know, do the math, 27 years, I've always wanted to be a cop after that first initial interaction with, you know, that officer taking the report, my mother's cousin. It's something that I always wanted to do. And I knew life circumstances and everything happens, and sometimes you have to transition. And whether it's an early transition, a forced one, or the end of your career, you're transitioning to the retirement itself, whatever it is, I knew that there was an upcoming transition in my life, and I was moving 5 hours away from where I was living. I didn't have a job as an officer at that point in time. So I'd say the hardest thing for me was leaving full-time police work and just starting that career. And it sucked for the first little bit, just because, you know, I feel like I have so much more to give in my career towards policing. And yeah, I'm trying to think of something else.
When you made that transition, obviously you weren't doing what your passion was, which was helping people, per se. You know, you were helping people in another way, but it's not what you wanted to do. Did that do something to your psyche or your self-esteem at that moment, or did you realize this was just something that I need to temporarily do so I can get back to where I want to be?
It's a roller coaster. it was a roller coaster. You know, it, like you said, and that's actually the second time I heard it. The first person who told me what you just told me was my fiance when her and I were talking about that. Is, you know, that feeling of being needed in life, because, you know, how many times are you needed on a daily basis as an officer? Too many to count, right?
Yeah.
You're needed, whatever it is. You need to help somebody through a theft report. You need to unlock their car doors. They just got hit by a car or whatever it is. You're needed in some daily aspect of somebody's life. And to go from that to, am I really needed to push a broom around? Yeah, I am. As weird as it sounds, because, hey, you know, and I'm learning more about the job as we go, say, construction and all that sort of stuff. But you have to look at the other aspects of life. So like, yeah, you're helping people. You're helping people reframe and remodel a business now so they can have more people there. You know, getting back from COVID, they're going to come back stronger now and all that sort of stuff. And for me, the hardest thing to get through was the fact of, like, I wasn't needed in the beginning. And I've always been one through, like, to speak about mental health, and we can get into that. But, you know, it's something that I was kind of keeping bottled up, and I didn't know that was what I needed until middle of the night. I woke up and I was like, that's what's bothering me. I finally put my finger on it of what was going on. So to actually break it down, because you have to break down, me breaking down why I was feeling like that, it was just like, damn, well, what's going on with me? Why isn't this going as smoothly as they thought it was going to go, you know, career-wise?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, that's one of the things that I recognize that I was lacking. And I've now done things, or am in the process of doing things to fill that void in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because sometimes we think we're supposed to be on one path. And then, I was listening to a podcast the other day. It was a Joe Budden podcast, who was a big time rapper. Now he's big time podcaster. And he was talking about, he was talking about how he always thought that, you know, this is the path he was supposed to take. So no matter what, he did everything he could to stay on that path, but things always kept coming up that kept directing him in another direction. And every time he tried to fight that, he realized that God had already had this plan and told and was trying to tell him, you need to be over here doing this. But he insisted that he couldn't listen and he would try this. And every time he didn't listen, it didn't work out. So he was forced to go back over to the path that he was being directed in. And somehow things just worked out when he did that. And it was funny because I'm a firm believer, and I tell my kids all the time, I personally believe that we all have a predetermined path. And we never know what that path is, obviously, but you just have to pay attention to the signals and the clues sometimes that's being directed at you, you know, and the obstacles that are being put in front of you, you know, because, and I this is a silly example, but it kind of goes along the same line. This morning I got up, my wife had bought this coffee cake thing, and I could not get the damn thing open. So I threw it away. And it was at that
moment. Coffee cake. You threw away coffee cake.
Yeah, it was some kind of coffee cake. But the container was, you literally had to sit there and pry this damn thing open. And I couldn't get it open. So I took that as a clue that I didn't need this coffee cake. So I threw the damn thing away. and I say that because we've been trying to lose weight. You know, and
okay,
I figured, okay, this was a signal from somebody that you don't need this coffee cake right now. So, like I said, I know
I
that's
understand.
A,
I understand. Yeah,
I know that's a silly example, but
no, I mean that's almost like a sin throwing coffee cake away. I mean, that stuff is great.
Yeah, trust me, I know that was the problem. I want to ask.
No, it's definitely a good example. It's you know, you have to look and. For me, I've kind of felt myself recently being pulled in the direction of counseling. You know, I've gone through my own counseling, and I'm pretty open about my own counseling and stuff like that. So I've been starting to help and mentor veterans who are going through the system after they've been out of the military.
Okay.
And I've been trying to speak with police officers about their mental health. And it's something that that is near and dear, and I've had my own personal interactions with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, I don't say fallback, because it's never a fallback, but at the same time, it's something that I'm opening myself up to more now of like, oh, maybe I should be a counselor. I mean, how many, that's kind of what we do on a job. It's 90% of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I can kind of feel my life kind of drifting that way, but at the same time, like, man, I still love kicking indoors and doing all that stuff. So
I hear you, man. I hear you. I want to move on to the next post here real quick. This was a picture of a kettlebell, and the caption read, "Get up and grind." And my question to you remember that post?
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. My first question about that post, or around that post, what is it that gets you up every day and get going?
I haven't posted this picture on the podcast. I think I posted it my own one, but I'm making fun of myself when I say this. When I say this, but I'm a former fat boy. A fat boy at heart. I was 315 pounds.
Wow.
And yeah, I'm 6'4", so kind of I kind of wore it well at the time, but like 19, 20 years old, I reached like 315, and I was like, damn. And something that I never ever want to experience again in my life. And so that's kind of the underlying hidden motivation every single day. But like I just said, I'm a former fat guy, so I still love everything that makes me fit. Yeah. It's like a coffee cake or whatever it is, you know. Maybe back in the day, fudge rounds were my go-to. Behind I have a discipline equals freedom flag, and that's from Jocko Willink, from the Jocko podcast. And so you think more about it, it's discipline. If I have the discipline to get up every single day, go to the gym, work out before my actual day starts, then I have the freedom to do, I have more time with my family at the end of the day. I have the freedom to indulge just a little bit in the sweets of the day or whatever it is. So that's what gets me get up and grind. And I don't want to fail. And the worst thing that I can do is fail somebody else in a time of need. And as cliche as that it sounds, and I probably know that there are some people that are rolling their eyes when they're listening to this, like, really, dude? But that's kind of my overall motivation, man. If I don't want to fail if and when somebody ever needs me, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally. That's the worst thing that, that I think that could happen to me with regards to the job, whether it's, you know, on the SWAT team and I'm unable to pull my own weight because of something physically, or in the military as a medic, I can't pull my own weight. I can't carry somebody when they need me to carry them to, you know, next level of care. That's what keeps me going. It's become, the gym itself has become a form of therapy for me of working out things that have going on in my daily life. So that's where I get the motivation. That's why I keep going. It's just, it's a form of therapy. And so it was really hard when COVID happened and they shut down the gyms, and it was, all right, guess what? Can't go to the gym. I got to improvise, overcome and adapt to a new gym, go outside and make my own and stuff like that. So that's where that comes from.
All right. Let me flip the script on that then. Let me ask you this. What keeps you awake at night?
Good question. Oh God, not being there for people when they've asked them and they've needed me to be there for them, whether it was my own failure. You know, one of the reasons why I started the podcast is to talk about police officer mental health. And I was taken aback at the end of 2019 when they finally had got all the stats about officers killed in line of duty, and then officers or retired officers who had actually committed suicide. And I was just absolutely astounded to hear or to see that more officers had actually committed suicide than were actually killed. And I had my own interaction with that. One of my best friends in college was a police officer. And just after his FTO period, he shot himself. And that was 2014, I believe. And so that's one of the hidden reasons or why kind of one of the things that I struggled with was for a long time was, you know, a week before he died, he had sent me a message on Facebook. And at that point in time, I think I was working and I had my own things going on and I didn't have the time of, this sucks to even think about, but I didn't have the time to dedicate 30 seconds to send him a message back. And that was one of the things that kept me up for a long time. I was like, man, if I just knew what Chris was going through at that point in time, because I had gone through my own struggles in my own career early on, and I might have been able to help him out, give him the ear to lean on so he didn't have to fucking go downstairs and shoot himself. And that's just, that was one of the things that kept me up for a long time. And, you know, it's not being there for people when they might need me. And that's definitely one thing that keeps me up at night.
Yeah, man, I hear you. I had two coworkers that took their lives. One was an officer and one was a dispatcher. With the dispatcher, looking back, you know, and they always say hindsight is 20/20. Looking back, the signals were there, but I guess myself included, no one picked up on them. But with the officer, no one expected it, you know, so. There was nothing to indicate that this was coming. And you almost, I don't want to say feel guilty sometimes when things like that happen and you look back and you miss those clues, you know, but it's like in this gentleman's case, I mean, not that I could see anyway. And a lot of the guys that I talked to, they didn't pick up on anything. So I don't know if it was, you know, something internal that he was keeping inside that, you know, obviously he was, but I don't know, man. And when you get a situation like that, I guess there's not a whole lot anyone can do if you don't see those signs and pick up on them. And I can't remember if it was your page or someone else's page that I was looking at, but they just had a simple question. Just ask someone, hey, you good? And see, you know, and just see if they open up, you know.
Chris, when he died, and you know, before that, obviously, but when we were college, you know, he was 6'4", 230 something pounds, and big jovial kid. You would, you know, always a smile on his face. You would never ever expect anything like that to happen. And it's mental health, and especially within policing, when I started in 2010, there was even still a stigma of mental health. And hey, why is that guy going to talk to somebody? Is he going to get his gun taken away? Is he going to get his badge taken away? Like, what's screwed up with him that, you know, he needs to go and talk to somebody? And that's just shame on people for even thinking that, because what happens when you start hearing a noise in your car? Do you ignore it, or do you bring it to the mechanic and get it fixed? It's the same thing with regards to mental health. And, you know, When your check engine light comes on, what do you do with your car? You bring it to the mechanic.
Yeah,
and same thing with your mental check engine light. Exactly. You know, you just go to counseling to fix it before you need a major overhaul and something dramatic happens.
Yeah.
And I say dramatic. That's terrible, but something big happens, and you want to fix it before it gets to that point in time. And yeah, like I said, it's the clues may not be present when you're trying to look for it. I mean, there's like the textbook clues of like, well, has so and so started selling all their property? Have they been drinking more? All that sort of stuff. And yeah, those are definitely things to look out for, I think. But like you said, just ask a simple question: you good?
Yeah.
And the thing for me was I didn't. When I was going through counseling a couple of years ago, I didn't have anybody to open up outside of the counselor, and having those friends that they ask that question, and then having that trust between you and that other person, that if that other person opens up to you, unless it's life threatening at that point in time, you know, for me, it was having that trust to not go out there and making sure that person wasn't telling everybody else or whatever it was. And just kind of providing that ear, no opinions, you know, immediately, unless they're asking for them, just no opinions, just to provide that ear, that shoulder of what that person needs at that time, casting no judgment and, you know, just in seeing what the situation brings.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a tough conversation to have, but it's one that needs to be had. Especially with first responders. I want to go on to the last post here that I looked at, and this was a picture of a snow-capped mountain and a blue sky, and the caption read, "It's the start of another week. Clear your mind, check in on your friends, prioritize what you have going on, and push yourself, push your mind, your body, and your soul. Become better than you were last week. Crush it." You recall that post?
Yeah, I do. I'm looking at it right here.
Okay. My question
No, I was just going to say that snow-capped mountain you see on the right-hand side, that's actually part of the presidential range in New Hampshire. I don't know which president that mountain is after, but Washington is right in that area. So,
got you. Well, my first question regarding that post, what do you do when you need to clear your head?
I do something physical. It's whether it is, if I'm feeling overwhelmed at that point in time, I need to separate myself and go for a walk. It's doing something physical. It's getting out there, increasing that blood flow and oxygen flow to my brain. And, you know, the endorphins will release and you'll start feeling better, whether it's about yourself, about the situation you have going on, whatever it is, and getting out of your head and into your body.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Then you need that distraction, you know. you need
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's that gym mentality, but it doesn't have to be at the gym. It's, you know, clear my head and just get the blood flow going, and that's what I'll do to start clearing my mind if I have to.
Good advice. And I kind of know the answer. I think I know the answer to this next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's your biggest priority at this moment or at this point in life?
Well, I have a few different things going on. I try to prioritize things, but it seems like everything is one or one A. So my fiance and I are getting married in just over a month.
Oh, congratulations. So,
thank you. That's kind of the number one priority is just getting married. I mean, there's nothing really better than that. And marry and love your life. And then, but for the career-wise, it's focusing on what I have coming up. I mean, it's like I told you earlier, I have a couple different interviews going on and background. So it's focusing on that next potential job and not getting so focused on those jobs that I miss other opportunities that may be presenting themselves. Whether it's, like I said, it's like being a counselor of some sort, working on the podcast, whatever it is, not becoming so focused on just obtaining that goal that I neglect other things or miss other opportunities.
Okay. Next question regarding that post, and this has to do with the pushing your mind and your body. What's the hardest physical thing you've ever had to do?
Oh, that's a good one. Hardest physical thing. I mean, I've done Tough Mudders. Trying to think, the hardest physical thing was probably losing and maintaining the lost weight because I love food. it took me a few. I dropped when I initially went from being like 315 down to like 230. I did it. I don't want to say it a bad way, but I just kind of stopped eating and worked out as hard as I could. I mean, I was still eating like probably just 1500 calories a day.
Wow.
But I lost that weight within like 3 months. So when I came, like I left school in what, May, and went back in August, September, back to college. So when I came back, I was looked like a completely
different
person.
That's a lot of weight to lose in 3 months.
Oh yeah. I was working as a security guard back at the time, at a parking garage, believe it or not. And that was between my junior year of college. Can't remember exactly when. So I was not only working out every single day, having a strict diet, but I was literally walking, the parking garage every time. They had a golf cart that we would take, but 99% of the time I walked that the entire time, just losing weight, sweating whatever I could, middle of the night, just working out, doing push-ups, sit-ups, because I knew, number one, I wanted to be a cop, and if I couldn't pass the PT test, then my life's dream was going down. But,
right.
The hardest thing it was probably losing that weight and maintaining it to keep it off, because, man, I could crush an entire pizza right now if you wanted me to. But like I said, keeping that weight off. But another thing is, a couple of years ago in 2000, it just came up in my memories, 2015, I was involved in a serious motorcycle accident. And so coming back from that, I had a broken jaw, numerous broken teeth, and a couple surgeries. And after that, the biggest thing coming back from that was the concussion. And I've done a lot of research when it comes to concussions and whatnot, especially from the military side, but also, sports injuries. And it was coming back from the concussion and learning about, the cognitive behavioral therapy, learning about just different diets people can do to help rebuild themselves after concussions and all that sort of stuff. So from the physical aspect of it, losing the weight was probably the hardest, but that was not a physical activity, but just learning about concussions and making sure that, I'm doing well, especially with the different brain injuries after that. Just, that's one of the other hardest things.
Did you have any issues from the concussion afterwards, or you were good?
Yeah, it's still lingering. I've dealt a lot with, memory related issues, and I found that I had numerous leading up there, playing high school football and whatnot, and different physical activity sports. So I had a few that were definitely like undiagnosed. So I remember every time going up to tackle somebody, as soon as I would hit them, I'd black out for like, you know, a quarter second, not even. But every single time you hit somebody, that's the concussion within itself. That's, you know, jarring of the brain, and it definitely creating some sort of not immediate effect, but some sort of long lasting effect. And then from that motorcycle accident, I had another one probably 4 or 5 months after. And from those two, the first one, I was knocked unconscious for about 30 seconds. And the second one, I wasn't unconscious, but my helmet cracked in half.
Wow.
And so from those two, it was, I noticed an effect of, I was becoming very short tempered, luckily, but then my brain, it helped me understand why that was happening. So I'd be able to overcome it.
Okay.
And so it was those sort of issues. And then, you know, I tend to get a lot of headaches, especially being on the range. Even a couple times shooting the rifle on a range, I'll start getting immediate headaches, even with double hearing protection on, and that sort of stuff. And my fiance says I forget a few things, but I swear to God I don't.
My wife just calls that old age with me.
But that sort of stuff. But there's definitely some sort of memory issues there as well. But it's nothing that I can't overcome. So
yeah. Well, good luck, man. I hope that all works out for you and everything continues
Thank
to
you
work
very much.
The way it should. I want to go ahead and move on to the next segment here, and this is what I call the random seven. And this is seven just totally random ass questions that are electronically generated. All right, so I don't even know what they are until they pop up.
All right, sounds good. Let's roll.
All right, the first one: what's the most exotic meat you've ever eaten?
Oh God, I had a. it's a beef jerky, and I think it was the alligator. I don't know, it's not exotic, but I think it was alligator. That's definitely got to be the most exotic one.
Okay, yeah, I had alligator once, and I wasn't too crazy about it. I had bison. That'd probably be my most exotic. And bison, bison was
pretty
good. I
love jerky, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bison was pretty good, very lean, but I enjoyed it. It didn't have a gaming flavor or anything to it, but it was good.
Something that's got, the alligator didn't have that, but I think it was there. That was definitely the most exotic one. I can't think of anything else. I mean, I've had bear and moose before, but for me,
that's being pretty exotic. The answer,
it's not really. definitely. I guess it's exotic. It's just one of those things that it's not that out of the norm up there. So.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I throw that in the exotic category for sure.
All right.
The next question. What could you do all day and night and consider it not a waste of time?
Oh, God. That's a good one. What can I do all day and night? Listen to music. I love music.
Okay.
I could be doing, it's just something that I do. Like all it is something I do all day and night as it is, or listen to podcasts. I just, I guess that's something. I mean, I can't really think of just physical activity or something like that.
Just whatever floats your boat, anything that, you think you could do.
Oh God, I'm about to come back to that one.
Okay. I'm trying to think, for me, what would that be? I would say it would probably be working on a computer.
Really? See, I find that a huge waste of time.
here's the funny thing about it. If I'm not doing a specific task and I look back on it, then yeah, I guess really I was doing nothing but just wasting time. But it's just, I just love discovering and all that stuff on the computer, online and everything. So
yep.
Yeah,
oh, I think you and I had this experience a little bit earlier. It's just I hate technology sometimes.
Yeah,
because technology sucks, and whatever you do to work, it doesn't work. So
yeah,
it's one of those things that's just like, I don't know. I'd rather we spend so much time in the cruiser behind the screen that I don't want that. Just to me, I just can't do it.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Next question. If you could make a documentary about anything, what would you make it about?
Documentary about anything. I'm one of those people that I love. The reason why I love podcasts is I get to ask you questions and I get to find out who you are, what makes you you, and just how you became to be the person that you are today. And that's what I love. I love documentaries, kind of like podcasts is a kind of like a verbal kind of documentary, depending on how you have it set up. So I would have to pick the most interesting people that I could even think about and just, find out what made them them. You know what I mean? I'm a huge Patriots fan. So if I'm learning, why Bill Belichick is so great at what he does or why Tom Brady is the best ever.
That would be an interesting topic. I would love to hear those conversations.
Yeah, it's just like those conversations of just like, what makes them great.
Right. I mean, those two names you just put out, I mean, those guys are on a whole nother level. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Tom Brady, and not only is he a handsome, beautiful man, but he's the freaking best quarterback ever.
Right. You know what I mean? somehow I got a feeling Tom is just good at every fucking thing he does.
Exactly. Right.
The next question, John. Okay. This is a good one. Would you rather have your toilet overflow every time you flush it or your refrigerator smells like rotten fish every time you open it?
Oh, rotten fish. It's funny because my dad was a plumber growing up. So I used to go on a few jobs with him and he asked me this one time and he goes, "What'd you learn today?" I said, "I learned that I don't want to be a freaking plumber." I can tell you that much. So I'd have to deal with the rotten fish.
Yeah, I hear you. You can always just keep the door closed on that one. I hear the other one. You got to clean up and do all that other stuff. Yeah. All right. Next. I told you these are just random as hell.
That's all right.
The next question. Would you rather be hated or forgotten?
Ah, jeez. Hated, I guess. I think I'd be hated. I mean, it's something that, I don't want to be forgotten. I don't want to be forgotten. I want to be known for what I did and, right, wrong, or indifferent. I mean, you're going to meet people that love me and hate me at the same time. But there are those who definitely love me and there are plenty of those who hate me as now. So I think, just given your career, people hate you. It's something that, if they hate you, I think that there is an opportunity to change their mind and show them why what's going on. I mean, some of that, the posts I have online and social media, it's more or less some of them are, taking another point of view in the police or the military and, people bashing those sides, and it's showing them why what happened. I mean, just showing them when we get those pictures or those posts, the 30,000 foot look of the situation and not diving directly in, and people are just casting judgment saying that they hate cops or hate the military, whatever it is. So I think I'd want to be hated more than forgotten, because just hated is, I still have the ability to express another point of view to that person, hopefully change their mind. If I'm just forgotten, I mean, look what happened, out of Vietnam. Those soldiers and those Marines and sailors and airmen were forgotten. And, that's something I don't want to see that happen to anybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I agree with that. I totally agree with that. Two more questions here. The next one is, do you think once you love someone, you will always love them? Or do you think love can fade in time with time?
You got to ask me. No, I'm getting married in a month. So to my fiance, who maybe listens to this when it comes out, love will never fade away. It's something that will always be there.
Great answer.
Yeah. I think love doesn't require work, but relationships definitely do. It's something that you have to invest time and effort into. So love may always be there, or love will always be there, but it's something that that relationship point of it, the point of view of it, you have to invest time and effort. And if you don't, then it starts to fade away.
Right. Right. Yeah. We've been married now for 28 years and it's a roller coaster, you know, but
yep.
You know, like you say, that love is always there and you get through whatever issues you have and you keep pressing on, you know, just like anything else in life. Yep.
Exactly. I mean, I was married once before and, you know, I definitely learned a lot about myself and whatnot coming out of that. So it's something that, that if you don't invest that time and energy into it, then it may fade away. But if you're willing to preserve the time and effort into it, then it's going to always be there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Last question. What area of your life are you least satisfied with?
God, I think you dug deep there, Anthony. I think you dug deep and wanted to get the most, you know. You dug for those. You wanted those 2 minute answers on a 20 minute question. So, I mean, you know what? It's one of the things I'm never satisfied just with myself. I always think that I can become a better person.
Okay.
You know, it's like I said in one of those posts, I'm always trying to make myself 1% better today than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds cliche. I know, I get it. But that's just how I live my life.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that because you do want to get better every day. I mean, because once you stop, then you don't grow. You don't learn anything new. You know, you just become stagnant. So, yeah. I get that.
Exactly. Just trying to, whether it's, hey, you know, because I always found it like I need to think of argument, you know, give an example like reading. I need to read more. So I start reading more, but then other things start slacking off.
Mm-hmm.
So then I work on those other things and my reading starts. So it's a circle of something always happens. But, you know, am I making myself better today than I was yesterday? And that's how I've been trying to live my life and help people get through their day.
All right, I want to be respectful of your time here, and I want to go ahead and jump into the last segment here. And this is what I call this or that. And basically what this is, I'm going to give you two topics, and you choose one. You don't really have to explain them. They're kind of self-explanatory.
Okay.
But the first one is, well, this one is actually three choices. Rare, medium, or well done?
Rare.
Okay. The next one, minivan or station wagon?
Neither.
Do they even make station wagons anymore?
I'd rather walk. I ain't being caught dead in either of those. All right. I'll go with minivan, and I'll cut a turret in the top of the minivan, and you know, so at least we have like an armored like car. For like my sailing, you know what I mean? Make it cool or something
yeah.
like that.
I hear you.
I'll go with minivan after walk.
The next one, Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts?
Oh, I'm from New England. Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts all the way.
I hear you.
Dunkin' Donuts all the way. I just had one this morning. So.
I completely agree.
Although my fiance and I have an argument about this every now and then. It's sometimes Starbucks does give those in like when I go in my army uniform,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they help us out with the payment. So Dunkin' Donuts hasn't happened there too much, but if I had to go with one versus the other, I'm going Dunkin' hands down.
Gotcha. The next one, flip-flops or sneakers?
Flip-flops.
I'm not a flip-flop guy. I gotta go with
no.
Yeah, I don't know why. I guess I don't like nothing between my toes. I guess I can put on what they call them, slides. I wear those.
Yeah, I mean, flip-flops to me, just who doesn't want to be on a beach and in summertime? I'm so sick and tired of winter that I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
So flip-flops remind me of summer, remind me of just being out there in the sun, and that's where I want to be.
Yeah, I can see that. The next one, take a back road or a familiar route?
Back road.
Yeah.
Back road. I'm definitely more that scenic sort of driver, especially when I'm on the motorcycle. I think everybody who ever rides a motorcycle will always take the back route over that known route.
Yeah.
But
all right. Hamburger or hot dog?
Hamburger.
agree. Although I did have a fantastic hot dog in Chicago. It was a Chicago style hot dog. It was pretty good. But yeah, I'm a burger guy myself.
What's the Chicago style hot dog?
The hot dog has like a snap to it when you bite into it, but it has a pickle.
Okay.
It's on a sesame seed bun. It has a tomato, and I forgot the other thing. There's one other ingredient that's on it. I can't remember what the last thing was, but it's no ketchup, no mustard, anything like that. And it was actually pretty good. It was different, but it was good. Never thought about putting a tomato on a hot dog, but they do.
That does sound good. One of the things they did during COVID for, you know, Kayla, my fiance, and I was, they made us I also made gourmet burgers, but I made like gourmet hot dogs. And I'm not talking like fancy. I mean, I literally went on and just typed in gourmet hot dog recipes on Google, and like some like Mexican street corn hot dog and like a Hawaiian barbecue one. I made those, and they were fantastic, let me tell you.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to Google that and check that out.
Definitely.
Four more here. Gift card or actual gift?
Am I giving or receiving?
We'll say receiving.
That's a hard one. I'll go with actual gift.
Okay, yeah. A gift card would be nice because I can get what I want, but actual gift is a little bit more thought put into it.
Yeah. I have a few gift cards right now that are just burning a hole in my pocket because I can't make up my mind of what I want to buy with it. So sometimes that's the struggle for me. So
the next one, visual or audible?
Oh God, I love podcasts. I also love movies. So I'm going to go. Oh, that's a hard one. I'm going to go audio right now, because if I'm watching something, I only get a few hours a day just to kind of honestly relax. And we're always trying to get things done while we're relaxing. So when I'm in the car, especially when I was in the cruiser all the time, it's audio all the way. I can have a podcast going. I can listen to an entire Rogan episode that's 4 hours long and just, you know, crank it out and crank out another one. It's just what I love. So
yeah, I totally agree with that. Two more here. Midnight or noon?
Midnight.
Yeah. What shift are you on right now?
Yeah. I was working, so we did, believe it or not, we did 12-hour, 2-week rotations. You either work 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Okay.
Every other weekend, you either have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, but it rotates every two weeks. So you go 2 weeks of days, 2 weeks of mids, 2 weeks of days, 2 weeks of mids. You can do that entire career if you stay at that PD. So I always found it harder to stay awake on day shift than I did night shift.
Really?
And so, yeah, I don't know why. I just, the sun hits and like, you know, it could be like 45, 50 degrees out. You get the heat on just a little bit. Maybe the windows are up because it's a little cold while driving. So you decide to park on the side of the road. And the next thing you know, like,
you're power nap in.
Oh, yeah. you're not meaning to.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. You're not meaning to. It's just like, holy crap. I don't know why, but I always enjoyed finding the crime on midnight and going out there and seeing if I could find, you know, people breaking into houses, or seeing if I could, you know, observe people, you know, selling drugs or whatever it was.
I think the majority of my career was midnights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The majority of my career was midnights when I worked the road. You know, I agree. Midnights was different. I always tell my wife, you know, on midnights, everyone you deal with is either mental, drunk, or an asshole.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And so I just, because I didn't like day shift because, or I don't like day shift just because I don't necessarily enjoy doing the errands.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I'll do what you got to do. Awesome. Let's get it done and I'll be the best person for the job. But I prefer finding the crime than doing the errand sort of work.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. All right, man. Last one here. Extra sleep extra time?
Extra time. Oh, yeah. I can run off about 4 hours. I need, Christ, I'm always trying to put 30 hours worth of work into a 24-hour day. So I definitely need that extra time.
I hear that. I hear that, man. Even retired, it's like you never have enough time in the day to do all the things you need to do.
Yeah. I could have gone the other way. I just need extra time to sleep. So
there you go. There you go. Well, John, man, listen, I know we had some hiccups here at the beginning, but man, I'm so glad I was able to finally get this going and speak with you. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and learning more about you. If you don't mind, man, can you do me a favor? Can you go ahead and give out your social media handles and all that stuff and your where people can go over and check out your podcast?
Yeah, definitely. So we're on Instagram at Point Man Podcast. That's where I'm most active. I also do have a Twitter account, but I don't necessarily like going on social media all the time. So that definitely Instagram is where you guys can find me and wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all the podcast apps. I think we just got listed on Amazon as well. Wherever you listen to them, go on and hit the subscribe button. And you can rate us a 0 to a 10. If you want to tell us we suck, which has happened numerous times because people don't like the police, go ahead and tell us what's up. We suck and we can talk about it. But, that's definitely, I mean, the podcast right now is just like I was telling you earlier, Anthony, it was because of my move down here. It was just one of the things that was top priority immediately. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to have it going again. We're almost 20 episodes deep right now. We have about, let me do the math. We have almost 5,000 downloads. So it's something that I really thoroughly enjoy because I think we do it for the same reason. I like finding out what makes you. Yeah. And I love interviewing people. My favorite source of books are definitely biographies over any sort of fiction. And I like finding out and, want to give people a platform for mental health as well, but I like finding out what makes you, who you are, and talk about what we have going on in life. And wherever you listen to podcasts, definitely go hit that subscribe button and you'll be hearing more from us on our show soon.
Cool. I can't wait. Guys, make sure you go over and follow John on Instagram. And like you said, subscribe. I'm going to put links to all of his stuff down in the show notes. So make sure you go over and check him out. Also, if you have not already entered the vacation voucher giveaway that I have every Monday, what are you waiting for? All you have to do is text Off Duty to 833-989-3124. That's Off Duty to 833-989-3124. Every Monday, I give away a free vacation voucher to Vegas, Orlando, or Myrtle Beach. And all you have to do is just text Off Duty. And once you text, you are entered forever, so you don't have to re-enter. So on that note, guys, we are out of here. I appreciate you all. Take care of yourselves. John, stay safe, my brother. And I will talk to you guys on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me, Anthony. Bye-bye.